Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Should I start things off?
Yes, please.
Nah, I can't call the big man, you do it.
Wow, okay. That is a horror.
That is a horror. You know what I mean? There's no introduction. To be fair, there is an introduction apart from good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the podcast from a South London postcode, which by now, if you don't know the name, I think Sis will help you out with that because I'm not going to say it. But, ladies and gentlemen, this is our Halloween episode. Sis, would you like to fill in our guests with what we have planned this week?
Look at him with the not saying that, and that's how I messed up the podcast, coming from South London postcode, talking about geekery, nerdism, and all that's in between. I like that smoothness there. Welcome to the Halloween episode.
Yeah? You got a noise gate on, we didn't hear that.
Wow. Nah. Wow.
We need to work on that. I don't know what to change on that. Because if you go too high pitch, it will cut out.
It cuts out.
Yeah. Oh, so
okay, should we do that whole bit again? Yeah.
No, I might just keep going. Seriously, in all seriousness, it's got to be like.
Oh, that sounds pathetic, isn't it?
Yeah. Let's just keep it going, seriously, because we can't really do all the whole thing, so I'll just keep going.
That's all good. Welcome to the podcast, and welcome to our Halloween episode. I'm your host, Shanners. With me are my other awesome hosts, Brav, aka the Instant Classic.
Darkness falls across the land, the midnight hour is close at hand.
That's so creepy. Oh god. And on the other side of me, it is Big Man, aka Bugaree.
Yeah, I'm all good. How is everyone doing?
All good. Buckling down to, I feel like October has just run through something ragged. And so here we are, all together for our Halloween episode, which is a combination of all of us coming together. We've talked about a lot of things on the Halloween episode, talked about TV and what have you, recommend some stuff. I wanted to have a little chat about creepy things in video games. Because we haven't covered that. I think we've like passed by it, lightly brushed against it, if you will. But I don't think we've really gone into depth about the stuff that we either find genuinely like unnerving. And I think even better if it's like out of context unnerving, but also just in general bloody creepy. So I'd like to Big Man, or shall I kick things off with a couple of things that I find absolutely
you should creepy. Set the tone.
Sorry?
Yeah, you should set the tone.
Yeah. Okay, so you know, you've got the usual, like, you know, Pyramid Head from Silent Hill to, you know, Mr. X. But I'm going to go and say that one of the things I find creepy in some recent video games is every bloody thing in Resident Evil Biohazard.
Well, to be fair, Biohazard was a little bit different to previous Resident Evil because that game, for playing the very little I played of it, was a little bit too much for me. So I casually watched it, or in your case, watched Bro play it, and that's good enough for me. I can handle a lot, but that Resident Evil game kind of shook me a little bit too much, where I thought, you know what? I'm not going to play this after hours like some hardcore gamer. No, I value the nicer things in life and don't want to be freaked out by that game.
Everything. Everything in that game. Every striking thing. It's why the games that I backseat gamed with bruv from the beginning to the end for the DLC, and I can say everything. Everything from pots to grandmothers to weird creatures that just it's just everything in that game. In fact, including the fact that my character couldn't run for more than 30 seconds.
Don't be hating on it. Hey, may he rest in peace, spoiler alert. And don't be hating on Ethan, man. No, don't be hating on Ethan. I'm not having a bad word said about Ethan, because nah. Shut up. Take it back.
Okay.
Take it back.
Okay. I'll take it back, Ethan.
Got better quality, than you.
What?
Yeah, I said it. I said what I said.
You know what? I'm sorry. Actually, no. Ethan mm-hmm. ain't got better cardio than me. Mm-hmm. I can go longer than Ethan mm-hmm. by a good 2 seconds, but it's still longer than Ethan could go. And yeah. I mean, in fairness to Ethan, the hand damage. What is it with Resident Evil and the hand damage since Biohazard? Because the hand damage hasn't really stopped. And it's okay. It's a lot.
Okay. So you need to stop saying Resident Evil, Biohazard, because you're basically saying Resident Evil.
That's the thing, but how else do I distinguish what it is? Because that's
either Biohazard or Resident Evil. You can't do both.
That's the annoying. Thank you so much for that. Okay, Biohazard. Biohazard. Oh my gosh, I hate it so much, but I love it so much. Yeah, the hand damage thing. For those of you who haven't played it, and you know, we're going to leave a link in the description to the Instant Classic playthrough of that, because I know that's on YouTube, and that's excellent. I can attest to that. But the hand damage. Yeah, that is terrifying.
Which one do you want to cover? Do you want to cover the one in Resident Evil 7? Do you want to cover the one in Resident Evil Village, aka Resident Evil 8? Or do you want
to... Village is another one I'm coming to, and that's also... I felt like... What is it with the recent Resident Evil where it's just like, oh, everything's going to terrify you? Everything.
That's another game. Sorry to butt in there, where I would have loved to have played, but that looked a little bit too realistic for me. Yeah, and if this calls me a chicken, then I'll own it. But when I saw the dude with a chainsaw doing a Leatherface tribute, I'm like,
Resident Evil 4.
Sorry?
Resident Evil 4.
And that's not even the worst.
Well, I thought that was the most recent one that came
out. That was Resident Evil 4 remake, yeah. So remake. It was the most recent one. So
Village is one with werewolves, because we're not terrified enough.
Do you say werewolves?
Yeah.
Yeah, Resident Evil Village has everything from giant vampire ladies to brave vampire ladies.
Put some respect on Lady Demetrisk. Just some respect on her name.
Lady Demetrisk. Said ladies! Jesus Christ! It's not like a bitch!
Sorry. Wow. Oh. Gosh.
She was a bitch. I don't give a shit. I had to fight her multiple times to shut up.
To be fair, that beat around the table was quite funny though.
Yeah, she just walks around. That yeah, fuck Resident Evil 2 for that. Fuck Jack Baker for that. Like, fuck Jack Resident Baker. Evil 7. Because like when
Jack
like
Baker.
It was that because I remember backseat session we were doing.
Yeah.
When I did that whole escape where I got through that bloody castle rooftop section with all the gargoyle things. Yep. And I was like cooking, like, look at that. Like I planned. And I got through an elevator, and then he was walking towards me with a 9-foot glory with her fake crew claws coming out. And I freaked the hell out. I was just like,
because we were tired, we were spent, you'd done it like a G, and then there she was. Like, hello. You know what I think they've mastered it in Village and Biohazard is the Bolshie walk.
Hmm.
the way that Jack's like, oh, hello. And it's like, I think the thing that terrified me one of the times playing with you, bruv, was when you could hear Jack outside the door taunting us. And I was like, no. Like, we can't leave. It's like, come on out. I was like, he's walking up and down. What is, like, with the other Resident Evils, you got a break. You like, you heard the music, you could relax a bit, chill out, have a cup of tea, you know, put on the record. No, 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 no. These new ones, where they're like lurking, like, yo, yo, my youth, come outside, yeah? When you're ready. Okay? Like, even in like Village, there are times when Brum would push the door and you could see it out there, like, look at you, like, I'm just here waiting. I'm aware, I'm sentient, and I will kill you. So come out when you're ready. And it's just like, okay, yeah. So yeah, that's one of my first ones out there.
Yeah, with that whole element of them with basically bosses just walking around, that just changed the game for that franchise in general. Because obviously, Resident Evil 2 remake, when like I didn't know that was going to be a thing. I knew Mr. X was going to be in it. But because of how it worked in the original game, I thought it would be like, you've got to complete the whole game first, then you play the B-side, and then you can do Mr. X, blah, blah, blah. And that's not how it works, because Mr. X comes into the game like halfway through, and it's not what... You don't expect it. You really don't expect it, because obviously in the B-side, there's a whole like cutscene where you see him just land in the police precinct, and then he's just there throughout the game. Basically, he's not following you or anything like that. He comes in certain scenes, but to my surprise, when I go to like where the helicopter crash, I see the helicopter moving, like, what the hell? And I see, oh, it's Mr. X. Oh, it's just, oh shit! And I was like, and then like the fact that he was just walking towards me, and I was like, oh crap, okay, this is how it works. And then lo and behold, throughout the whole game, from that point, almost all you're hearing is his footsteps throughout the whole game. You're not too sure where they are, but the louder they get, you know they're getting closer towards you. But it changed the dynamic of the game so much, but at the same time gave me something more to hate.
Yes, I concur. And it made you panic at things that you shouldn't have, because you could hear him coming. But you're like, how far is he? Is he close? Is he? And so you just make a dumb mistake, especially like when you're trying to solve puzzles and stuff. That's one of mine. Resident Evil, especially recently since Biohazard, Biohazard, as Buff said, yes.
Not Biohazard, just Biohazard. Or Resident Evil.
Okay, sorry. Another one that, another thing that is kind of, it's going to sound weird, so stick with me. The thing that kind of terrifies me is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles back in the day is the electric in the water. That's the villain. Why is everyone silent to me? Why is everyone that traumatized?
It's not like... traumatized, it's that, come on, sis. Really? Let it go.
No.
I didn't think it was that bad.
At the time, you did. There was one time, bruv, when you just cried and went to sleep. You literally had enough. I was like, yeah, pretty much. You gave it to me to do, and I was like, me? I'm rubbish. I am doo-doo brown. Can't do this. And he just got up and went to bed. But I find it just... Because it's the fact that it's like you couldn't quite get the timing. You just... Yeah, I couldn't let that go.
I mustered it in the end, so I can't be too much.
You did. And it is like a montage of you. Watching you game and sometimes like work out a little puzzle is... It's a thing of beauty. Can I also say in the same vein that another top villain for me is the music in Sonic Hedgehog Drowning?
Yep.
The closing. I'm dying. Please. I know. I feel like that's like a top villain. I feel like I just, because that bit isn't. I can cope with it without the music. It's when the music comes in. I'm just like, please, no, the walls, don't do that. I'm, yeah, yeah. That also. Can I also give a shout out to the idiot teenagers in Until Dawn?
Right, I'm glad you mentioned Until Dawn, right? Because
everything... Oh, he's awake. you were saying, big man, go on.
No, Until Dawn. It's just that whole game. Yeah, it just puts you on from beginning to end. From the first jump scare to the last, no, that was one play. I will not play that game again. I had sleepless nights while thinking, you know what? I'm hearing noises that weren't there. And then, I'm sorry to swear, but fuck them teenagers.
Wow, he rage quit.
Big man rage quit because he was so angry at the teenagers.
That was actually really good timing, to be fair.
Your sentiment is well founded.
Yeah, I can't agree. I can't argue with that. Yeah, fuck them kids.
I can't argue with that. Fuck them kids. I can't. I have to agree with that. Okay. Other one. The Big Daddy in Bioshock.
Yes. Again. Yeah. I begin to think that you're kind of in my head this evening with this because Big Daddy's another one. The amount of high pitched screaming that I put down playing that game inferred that character is not right. But I'm calm. I'm not going to rage quit this time. I had a new level of respect for Big Daddy towards the end of the game.
See, the thing I was thinking about it, like Bioshock in general, like the trilogy, which fantastic trilogy. Please, if you haven't played it, please pick it up, play it. It's usually game for dirt cheap. I think it's just once again, the Big Daddy is thing like it's like the Biohazard thing and the Mr. X thing. You can hear it coming, but you're not too sure where it is. And I think there's something that's a little bit like Terminator about it. You can't negotiate with it. You can't really talk it down. All you got to do is kind of like shoot it. And the thing, I don't know, the thing that I hate is the little sisters, how they sound.
Yeah.
Especially when you take it down. Because you know you kind of have to do it, but it's that surreal that, no, Mr. Bubbles, get up. And you're like, this has traumatized me for how long? Do you know how long it took me to kill? And you're crying about it. Can you stop? Can you please take a minute? But even like, I think looking back on it and having played the remastered version recently, because I obviously want to hurt myself, like I really like, I think one and three are my favorite Bioshocks.
Mm.
But even in three, there wasn't anything to me as scary as like when you're first trying to deal with Big Daddies.
Yeah.
Even those Washington things that scream out at you. Mm. And if anything, I think I was kind of anticipating something. I mean, because don't get me wrong, the game is fantastic. It's still like one of my favorite games. But I feel like there was nothing as quite as terrifying as when you hear the Big Daddy.
Yeah, that dark, big, he's saying it now. But yeah, you know what? That game is actually rather disturbing on a level when you think about it.
I don't think Big Daddy's that bad.
What's that?
I don't think Big Daddy's that bad, to be honest.
Okay.
Like, because to be honest, like, they didn't really do anything to you unless you did anything to do something to them, and obviously you need them to get the Adam.
Yeah.
And after, like, I think, like yeah, they weren't a problem because you could walk past them without them paying you your mind again. Like, so they weren't a problem for me. Like, mm-hmm. I don't see him as a big horror villain. If anything, they're kind of just like, if anything, they're more of a victim than anything else in this.
Very true, especially when you get into two.
Mm.
True, but I just, it's that I think for me as well, it's the sounds that the and that coming towards me. I'm just like, go away, leave me alone. Mm. I'm gonna throw things at you. Go away, please. But I hear what you're saying. But I think also I'm also gonna stand behind it. But also as well, bruv, you are way more battle hardened than me. You have taken down and dealt with a lot more terrifying stuff than I have. And I know how sometimes you don't just throw the controller and just go to bed and never look cry.
I do.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
I do. I'm currently playing two Souls-likes at the moment. I'm playing Lies of P and Lords of the Fallen. And Lies of P, again, love the game. Absolutely gorgeous and a great... It's actually a genuinely fun game. But you sometimes just hit a boss that just frustrates you. And I'm currently at that point with that game right now. And then with Lords of the Fallen, I'm just lost at the moment. I don't know where to go. But I've been doing quite well when it comes to dealing with bosses on that game. But I think my main issue with Lords of the Fallen is that there are just so many bad guys. Like when you're literally trying to get your bearings around of where to go and what you got to do. A lot of times you just got to run through because there's so many enemies. And then if you because you switch dimensions occasionally. There's a dimension called the umbral lamp, and it transports you into like a ghost world. And the best way to describe it, so you have like more ways to traverse. But then, like, the longer you stay in that world, more enemies will spawn. And so the longer you stay there, the more it gets worse and worse and worse. So a lot of times you're just running around like a headless chicken trying to figure out where to go next. But then, like, another thing that pissed me off about this game is that things that were bosses previously just become enemies that walk around. And I'm just like, why is that okay? You had a huge, like, no. If I was in a room with you and I had to fight you to get out of that room, you're a boss. But if you're walking around now, you're trying to say you're not a boss anymore. Nah, fuck you. You're cheating.
It's bullshit.
Like, fuck you guys. It's like three of them so far that's done that. No, four of them. And like,
No. I'm sorry. That's like you playing Final Fantasy and I beat Sephiroth and then you go, oh no, Sephiroth just walking around now. It's like, no, he's not.
Yeah, he just follows you when he feels like.
No. It. Don't follow me. Why? Well, with that sword and that hair. No, don't do that. I don't want your company.
Nah, never mind. It's a silly question, but,
you know. Oh, no, I want to know what the question is. What's the question?
Where does he keep his sword?
This is the thing, though, right?
Because Cloud keeps his on his back. So that makes sense.
That makes sense. Yeah.
You never see Sephiroth, you never see him, like, sheathing his sword or anything like that.
But then, because it would take forever to sheath that goddamn sword. You can't put it down the side. Oh. The sword's taller than him.
Yeah,
well, magic.
There you go. Yeah, magic. It's called magic.
It's called magic. It's just magic. Yeah, video game logic. I mean, that's the thing. I know that there was, like, the Outlast. Oh, brother, are you going to do Outlast Trials?
Well, it's a multiplayer game. I need people to play with, and obviously,
yeah.
There you go. So I don't really know anyone who's got the game. So
I haven't even got through the first one, Backseat Gaming, with you, and
yeah.
I lost as long as I could, and then I gave the safe word, and I've never looked back since.
Yeah, I'm aware. I'm not asking anyone. So it's like. Like, I don't really know anyone who's got it, so I don't see a point. I probably could do it solo, but I just don't want to. I do really want a good horror game, because I think the only horror games I've been playing recently have been Resident Evil ones. But like, I don't know. Something I think I'm just. I'm not done. I'm waiting for the game to say, do you know what? This is a horror game for me. And I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that recently. I think the only one I thought about playing recently was Slender the Arrival, because they actually gave it a really big visual update. So I'm quite curious by that. I haven't really been in the mood.
Yeah, I've got to be in the mood. Like, there's that demonologist game that I was like. Was thinking, oh, I'm like, I don't think I'm in the mood. And also, Baldur's Gate is a bit of a learning curve, so yeah, that's a thing. Gorgeous game. And I've got my brother Replica in the game as well. I managed to recruit him to my party, but yeah, we'll just leave that there. I just like my little Dave the Diver, and Cities Skylines 2 is out. And actually, you know, another thing I thought about in terms of traumatizing villains is almost everything in Bayonetta.
They are
the weirdest, because, and not even because they're scary, it's how they look. It's like
Bayonetta was weird. Like, well, it's not even conventional weird. It's just weird.
Well, they began with, so her hair is her clothes. It's like, yes. What? And the guns are her shoes. It's like,
yes.
What? Oh, she's an Umbra witch. Mm-hmm. And everything looks like a nightmare if, like, Michelangelo and Leonardo da Vinci were doing mushrooms one time and then watched Hellraiser. And it's like, oh. And they're going to make that game. Oh. With the gameplay that's like Devil May Cry. It's like...
We'll think I did it, to be fair.
But it also was a compelling game, which is that the stuff, like, I found that I couldn't play that game too late because some of those little things would trickle into my brain like past 8 p.m. I'd be like, I don't want to dream about a horned thing that flies and has tentacles and a hole and a golden trumpet and has a face for a clock and high heel boots.
Don't know about you, that sounds like my Friday night.
And it's, what? Where the hell do you live? My God, what's happening?
West London, baby. Woo, we do things right.
He's like Bayonetta.
Hell yeah. Brother, I'm not going to lie, I wouldn't mind doing Bayonetta. I'm just saying.
Okay, I'm immediately uncomfortable. Thank you.
Oh, what? Grow up. We're all considered adults here.
You. I'm a sensitive woman.
Yeah. Fuck you are.
Oh dear. It's also the obvious, like, you know, Vass from Far Cry 2.
I was just about to bring up, because I was going to bring up literally from Far Cry 3.
Far Cry
3 onwards, the main bad guys have been on.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A level of their own, but Vass stands above them all, to be fair, because he was a game changing bad guy, to be fair.
Game changer indeed.
Yeah.
Not enough of him. That's my complaint with Far Cry 3. Not enough of us.
Mm.
But then it's almost like, did you want more of him? It's like, yeah, but no, but I do want more of him, but I... Do I? No? Yes? But fantastic. Absolutely. Yeah. Complete game changer. Mm. Even though I wasn't too... I heard that Giancarlo Esposito was pretty good in the most recent Far Cry. But not up to Vass. And not up to up to our boy Pagan. Pagan Min.
Oh. Actually, I've got a shout out for something which this is strange because yes, it's a villain, but I can't say one specific villain. It's just the whole game from beginning to end. Mm. Aliens.
Oh, that Xenomorph.
Yeah.
That he cheats. Or they cheat. They play they do cheat because there should only be one Xenomorph in that game. But if you do
isolation,
yeah, isolation, there should be only one Xenomorph in that game. But if you do well enough to keep out of it, two will spawn.
It's
like that because the idea there is literally like. The way it works, if I'm saying the Xenomorph has like two AI, so basically, so like if you're going to one place, it's another one that's going to be another place to kind of counteract you avoiding the other one in the other place. But in certain situations, depending on like if you kind of like glitch them, there'll be two Xenomorphs running around. And I was like, that happened to me once, and I was like, yeah, done, I'm done, no, done. I'm done. Game I was over. Like, yeah, bun this game. Sorry, Helen, I love you, you're great. You know, but
Helen, we've come to our relationship. We have to end.
Helen
really
Ripley,
sorry,
I love you.
It's
I
not
know.
Me.
I know
it's
you
not you. It's me.
Yeah, you know, I know you need closure, but yeah, closure. Like counselling. Mm. That's what I say. Counselling. Move on. Mum's dead. Get over
Wait,
it.
Wait, Amanda.
Who the hell's Helen then? That's Ellen. That's Ellen. I'm actually. I meant Amanda Ripley, not actually her mum. Hey, I was talking about a Ripley. There you go.
A Ripley. It's like, yeah, sorry. I love it. Was great. But at this point, it's not you. It's your accomplices. And we don't like that. Fantastic game. And like I said, the thing I remember about that game is the fact that it picks up sound through your...
Connect.
Through your controller.
Yeah, which is... No, it was the Kinect.
The Kinect. Yeah. I think the PlayStation as well.
PlayStation as well.
Oh, fair enough. Well, that's why.
Yeah, PlayStation as well. It picks up. So you know, your husband annoyingly calls you when you're trying to hide. You know, and it just opens the door. Yeah, I stopped playing after that.
You know, another game. Now, this one will be an interesting one if any of our viewers and yourselves remember.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone remember a classic game on the PS1? Called Fear Effect.
Yes, I do. Never played it though.
So Fear Effect, anyone remembers that game, was made by Eidos Interactive. It was spaced across four discs. Does that ring a bell with anyone?
Four discs?
Yeah.
Bloody hell. No, I didn't, bruv. Did you?
The only games I ever played that had multiple discs were Final Fantasies.
Same. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I remember I was absolutely buzzing for this game. I don't know where I saw it. I think I was just intrigued by the cover. It was very manga-based. Mm. There were three people rolling around the city, and there was something going on. I can barely remember it. But only if I remember, this one was a nice introduction of you rolling around the area. This two was ghosts left, right, and center. This three was gunshots galore. This four was like zombie flesh eaters. Survival of the fittest. Either you get dumped, or run for your life. Hell of a game. To be fair, I'm surprised they haven't rethinked before of making that. Because that would look good now on an update system. But definitely, if you can check it out, or you can find it, look up Fear Effect. Definitely one for the nostalgia purposes.
That sounds interesting.
Mm.
Yeah.
But I'm also stuck on PS1 graphics. I'm like...
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember trying because it's kind of hard now to go back to old graphics because I remember I remember when the Persona 3 came on the Xbox PC Game Pass. And I was like, do you know, I've been hearing nothing but good things about this game. Let's play it because it's basically straight after playing Persona 5, and I'm so used to that graphics, or even Persona 4. Graphics are quite more modern, but playing Persona 3, that was PS2 graphics, and I could see the game. There was a good game there, but I just couldn't get past it. But Now they've announced that they're going to do a Reloaded, a remaster for it. I'm like, all right, cool, I can wait now. I can wait.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's hard to go back. I can probably be okay with it when it's like, maybe like your Mega Mans, your Sonics, your Marios. That's just nostalgia. It's fine. But like, yeah, I don't know. Something about PS going back to PS1. I don't know. Maybe
it's hard. Mm. It's hard on the eye. It's really hard on the eye. Yeah, I remember playing Final Fantasy, the original Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, I tried to do that.
Oh, like this is hard. Them blocks are hard on the eye.
Yeah, they are very fine. Blockers, mate. You know what I mean?
Oh, like every so often, like once or twice a year, I go back to SSX, and that's. That's the Xbox. I'm like, that's just about okay. But the amount of times you go through the graphics is unreal. The amount of times you're like, oh, oof. But yeah, then the PS1 is hard on the eye. Mm. And whenever I just hear a horror game, bruv, you know what I think of in PS1. You know the game that I think of, which
Nightmare Creatures.
Nightmare Creatures and Bushido Blade, where my brain goes when I hear PS1. It's like, oof. Oh dear.
I'm really Dark Souls, FromSoft, Souls-like games. Those are bad guys that kind of stay in my nightmares these days, especially when it comes to like the bad guys from Bloodborne or Sekiro,
There's genuine stuff of nightmares. Genuine stuff of nightmares.
Yeah, I feel like the one that always stands out for me is in Bloodborne, Ludwig. He's one of them because he's probably one of my favorite boss fights, which is ironic because like has like one of the best soundtracks, and he has one of the best like power up moments where he just you get him hard like with most bad guys in or most enemies in Bloodborne or FromSoft in general, you get him to the halfway mark, they bust out the second phase and go Super Saiyan basically. And this when you're dealing with Ludwig, basically he's basically a weird gigantic horse thing with two heads and an eyeball, and one of the heads has eyeballs in his mouth. It's like what goes through people's heads when they there were meetings, they were organized the conversations about, okay, we need to make this thing look freaky as fuck. Eyeballs in his mouth, dude, you okay? But great idea. I want to be in a meeting when they're talking about fatalities in Mortal Kombat. Because that genuinely concerns me. Like, again, there was a board meeting saying that, we're gonna get Rambo, and we're going to put his blade in another man's head and slice it in two. First and foremost, why is Rambo in Mortal Kombat? As things go, that doesn't make any sense. Which is weird coming to Mortal Kombat because like. RoboCop and Terminator make more sense than being in Mortal Kombat than Rambo didn't be in there, but maybe that's just me. I don't know. Maybe I'm just thinking too.
I didn't think of it, but now you've highlighted it, it doesn't make no sense.
Yeah, it's like with the new Mortal Kombat, not Mortal Kombat 1. Looking forward to it. I haven't played it, but I'm loving the look of it. Like the characters they announced. Two of them I can justify. One of them I really can't. I really want to because I love the character, but I just can't. Like, the ones I can just let go are Homelander and Omni-Man from The Invincible. So they make sense. They make sense, which is weird. which is weird. I can make that make sense, but then my head's weird anyway. But Peacemaker.
Okay. No.
Again, love John Cena. Love Peacemaker. Mortal Kombat. I mean, I get it.
Come on.
Okay, since you can talk about him. Okay, you can't see him. Doesn't mean you can't talk about him. Come on now.
Okay, thank you.
but yeah, I mean, granted, his show and films are pretty bloody, but
I can see why. In a way, I mean, fatalities from him will be something special. And that's, to be fair, when we play Mortal Kombat, do we really play for storyline or do we play for fatalities?
I play for compelling storyline. How about y'all? No, who am I kidding?
So Peacemaker, I can actually see how he gets it. I don't know. But yeah, that's one of my games on my hit list, which I will get sooner rather than later. But when I found Peacemaker and especially Homeland were involved, I went, yeah, I'm in. Fully. I just need some knowledge.
I saw like they recently released the announcement trailer for Omni-Man because he's the first character that's going to come to DLC character to come to Mortal Kombat, and yeah. Jesus Christ, the fatality
that Mortal combo hits, yeah, that's deadly.
It's like if you've seen Invincible and you remember the scene when he takes out the heroes, yeah, that's all I'm going to say. That is all I'm going to say. Because they, but Mortal Kombat, they don't hold anything back. They, there's not much left to the imagination anymore. But again, they had a meeting about this, and again, I want to be in that meeting. I want to see the people who make these decisions and say that's a good idea, or they say no, that's too tame. I want to see the guys. I want to know what was too tame. I'm curious.
I mean, as somebody who's worked with designers and stuff, and is aware and has designed stuff myself, and has had like feedback. I'm just like seeing where it's like, no, bigger. No, big. Right. Okay, can you take his head and put it there? Yep, that's the one. Wait, how many tentacles? No. I need to go through him. Through. Wicked. Okay, right. See, I don't see enough of the internals. I want the whole guts hanging out, yeah? Yeah, oh, perfect. Like that, that's it. And it's like, I think the same about From Software games where like, how many eyes has he got? And the eyes are where? Not in his butt. Why not in his butt?
Well, that's the thing. You got to remember, right?
Where are the teeth? I want 5 rows of teeth on his butt with the eyes. Yes, well, it's a tree.
It's a case of how far can you push something. I mean, you think about it. Years ago, we all played a game where we were involved in us going into a funeral sequence of shooting someone up and as a special maneuver, putting him in a coffin with a grenade and closing it and watching it explode.
I thought they'd get interns and go like, if the intern doesn't vomit, it's not going to be in the game.
I took on a boss that was freshly born from the corpse of his mother and used his placenta as a weapon.
I'm sorry, say what now?
Excuse me?
You heard me.
Oh, no, I heard you, but I didn't expect because he then asked me the second question, what the hell are you
doing? Bloodborne, Orphan of Cause. There you go. That's all. That's the name of the boss.
I think I don't know where we go from there, other than to say.
Wait, can I top that? Can I top that?
Yeah, I got nothing after that because that sounds like you're mint. That's what you're saying. I'm like, what? No, you're right. Thanks.
I actually can't top that. No, I can't top that. No. That's Bloodborne.
If someone has given birth, that's horrific. So any recommendations for Halloween, guys? HBO, video games, and movies to watch or TV to watch you want to put out there before we wrap this up? Because I don't know where we can go after that, little Jim.
What are you talking about? That was tame. Right?
Like, uh-huh.
I mean, they put in a video game. I'm sure it's fine.
We need to. I'm gonna come see you in a bit. I'm seeing you on Saturday, so I'll talk to you on Saturday. Any recommendations? Anything you think anyone should be giving a go this Halloween weekend? Let's see.
I recently fell into a hole of Ju-on or Grudge. Ooh, mythology. Because I really wanted to watch the original ones. Again, I didn't know that before the film, before the actual theatrical movie, Ju-on the Grudge, came out in cinemas, there were 2 films before that that went straight to DVD. They were called Ju-on the Curse and Ju-on the Curse 2. And then basically, really? Yeah, and then basically they did Ju-on the Grudge and Ju-on the Grudge 2. Then the Grudge came out in America. Then the Grudge 2 also in America. I have a list of this. If I'm mistaken, there are 9 films.
Wow. Wow.
Nine Grudge.
Amityville route.
Yeah, it's nine, there are nine Grudge films, which includes the DVD, the ones that went straight to DVD, and then if you include the American ones, that's actually three of those. So that's 12, and plus there's a series as well.
And the crossover as well, right?
That's not canon. That's not canon. Sadako versus Kayako.
Okay.
K-A-Y-A-K-O.
Kayako.
Kayako.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah,
there you go.
I did not. So there you are, guys. You can watch the series of The Grudge, which you did tell me about, which sounded very interesting.
Yeah, I actually never got the chance to watch it, but after watching the original Grudge movie, I actually quite like the American version, so like
I was actually good. The first one was I really enjoyed.
Yeah, first one was pretty decent. The second one wasn't bad. The third one was terrible. The third American version. But like one thing I liked about the original one is that my problem with the American version I was like, God, man, I feel like there should be more people dying. If that made sense,
yeah.
Because a curse that big, I felt like more people should be dying.
Should be dying, yeah.
With the way they treated it in the original one, it was best way to describe it. Sorry to use this, but it's very similar to COVID. You don't have to go in the house if you talk to someone who happened to be cursed. You're fucked.
That's it. You're done.
And like by the end of the film, you're literally in like a part of Tokyo, but like empty. Like you're just seeing like missing posters flying about. You're not seeing any people. So it's like it wiped out most of Tokyo.
Tokyo, yeah.
So I was just like, okay, that makes that's a curse. That's a fucking curse right there. Okay, that's how you do a curse. But yeah, I loved it, but I didn't sleep. I haven't slept.
Consider yourself warned. Rob hasn't slept. I don't want to put a Nightmare on Elm Street
that death rattle. Yeah.
The first time we saw it in cinema, and remember in my old place, there used to be like an attic in my bedroom, and I couldn't sleep because I kept looking up there going, and I swear I'd hear that death rattle.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, no.
You see, unfortunately, every time you mention The Grudge, the American remake, I'll always remember that defining death, or with Ted Raimi, right? The scream he put down.
Ted's got some pipes. Mm-hmm. Ted's got some pipes.
That's an understatement. When he screams, I'm like, fucking hell, mate. That
went for it. And you know what? I'm not arguing. No.
Yeah, again, like that film took away the sanctuary. It took away my bed. That's what pissed me off the most. Seeing the American version is one thing. Seeing the Japanese version, oh my fucking god! Something about it seems so. I don't know. Maybe it's just because I'm racist.
Wow. What? What? What episode?
I don't know what I said.
Oh, I'm baffled.
Okay, let me explain. Okay, I'm not actually racist, but I do have an irrational fear of Japanese little girls with long black hair. And...
One should. I'm sorry, we all should. Like, from the ring,
which is kind of racist. We're stereotyping them now. I feel uncomfortable now. But it made me feel uncomfortable. So I don't know how it works. I don't know what to do in this situation.
Okay, we're gonna stop. I'm gonna recommend.
Jason!
Jason, help us! We'll talk to us after.
Guest ain't ready, please.
Oh God. I'm gonna also recommend For the House of Usher on Netflix because.
See, every time you say that, I just think Usher.
I know you do. Watch this. It's not that Usher, and it is Mike Flanagan who did Dr. Sleep and Gerald's Game, and probably love Stephen King more than me, and actually does a good job in execution. I've heard really good things. I'll be giving that a watch. I'm almost going to also pick up and say it's a good time to sit down and watch Inside Number 9 because it just keeps going and it's amazing. And that's going to be my recommendation. And I'm going to get through. And in terms of games, I mean, if you want to give Bloodborne a go after what we just said, good luck. And
question, but just so I reckon, you need to get there first. So good luck with that.
Yeah, you got to get there first. You can get past the what's his name, Father. What's his name?
Gascoigne.
Then you. Oh, I hate that so much. And he's terrifying. Yeah, big man. Any recommendations before we head on out and help brother out because he needs help.
Yeah, I'm going retro. Stick to the classics. So, obviously, you've got your traditional Nightmare on Elm Street. Recently saw Friday the 13th, the original, in the cinema. And that was a cinematic experience for me. It was like a comedy set. Still holds up, but damn, I have to question which version did I actually see because I've seen scenes which I don't recall seeing. So, that's a different story for a different day. Always there's All Hallowe'en, which is the prequel to Terrifier, which, if you don't know what Terrifier is.
Yeah.
And finally, I cannot go Halloween without doing a throwback to one of my all-time favourites, which is Evil Dead. Game-wise, I would have to mention, obviously, Aliens. If anyone's brave enough to step up, then by all means, step up. Also, I would suggest, and I've heard good things, but I've yet to get it, which is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre game.
Haven't played it yet. Chucky. Oh yeah, Child's Play. I will also take this opportunity to quote the great John Carpenter. In a recent interview with IGN, he was asked about his legacy as one of the best horror directors out there, and he said, "I don't know, just want to play video games." And God love you, Carpenter, for saying that.
He love you for the thing.
Oh yeah. Hey, Prince of Darkness as well, and Christine. Oh, there you are. More recommendations. Prince of Darkness, Christine.
I'm just going to say it. David Keith was the thing.
Keith David was the thing.
Yeah, he was the thing. For saying it. I will not be taking any questions. It's just the way it is.
Isn't there a comic that actually says that as well?
Is it?
There's a thing comic where it's like, David Keith was the thing.
No, I don't think it was canon. That's the thing. I don't think it was canon.
Either way.
Yeah.
Either way, no questions this time. Rob said what he said. So it was whole chest. I mean, back him. There we go. Thank you once again for your ears. I hope you have a really enjoyable Halloween. Enjoy watching Scooby-ish. Oh my gosh, what's wrong with me? Spooky-ish is what I was going to say. And thank you.
Reggie?
Okay. You can contact us by email on the stjudesavengers@gmail.com, on Instagram at messeduppod, on Twitter at andmessed, and bruv, what are your socials?
You can find me on YouTube under instantclassic_KB, where I'm playing at the moment Lies of P and Lords of the Fallen. You can also find me on TikTok, Twitch, and Instagram under instantclassic_gaming. Big man, how about you?
You can find me on Twitter, X as it's known as, at War782, and on the gram at Miss blah, 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 blah. So let me just do that again. On Instagram, you can find me at Mr_Roberts_V1.
Zoinks! Okay, thank you much for your time and your ears. Have a good Halloween and enjoy yourself. Thank you very much.
Happy Halloween.
That's too good.
I know, I need to play. And that's Why We're Messed Up, produced by the St. Jude's Avengers, edited by Instant Classic Gaming, and music produced by Box Room Music.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.